There are many, many facts that we could talk about with regard to life. But the fact that I want to make mention of tonight is this. Folks, men die. Just this week, Friday morning, Brother Garland Elkins passed from this life. We were told that he came home from the hospital Thursday night. He got in bed, and sometime after midnight, Brother Elkins passed from this life at the age of 90 years old, a soldier of the cross. But death is real. Death is something that happens. And if we live long enough, guess what? We will all die, won't we? When an individual dies, there are many questions that come to people's mind. One of the questions is this: what happens after death? Another question that some have is this: what kind of a person, what kind of a being, or maybe even what kind of a body am I going to have at death? Another question that some have is this: what does heaven look like? Describe it to me. Can you tell me exactly what it's going to be? And then there's this question: will we know each other in the hereafter? It is that fourth question that I want us to focus in on tonight. Will we know each other in the hereafter? I've entitled the lesson as follows: Recognition in the Hereafter. What I want us to do is examine what the Bible has to say about heavenly recognition, or recognizing one another after death, knowing one another after we die. And I believe that the Bible says absolutely, positively, yes, we will know one another. We're going to be looking at 3 points tonight. First, we're going to be looking at some of the proofs, some of the evidences that we will know one another after death. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at an objection that some individuals raise when it comes to this idea of knowing one another after death. And then the last point that we want to make is the blessings that come to us because there will be recognition after death. Proofs of recognition. Folks, the first point that we want to stress to you is this: when you and I die, we do not, and underline that word not, we do not lose our identity. Moses was standing in the wilderness, and he saw a burning bush, did he not? And he goes up to that bush, and God introduces himself, and the Bible says this: and God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. Now there's two things that I want you to look at in that verse. Notice that God says, I am the God of. That word am is a present tense verb. Notice that God doesn't say, I was the God of these individuals. He says, I am at this very moment. I am their God. Now here's what's interesting. These three patriarchs that are named had died hundreds of years before this particular event. And yet when God speaks to Moses, he says, I am right now, at this very moment, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Folks, those three men were still in existence, and those three men still maintained their same identity, even to the point of their name. And God says that, does he not? Notice also that Jesus talks about resurrection in John 5, 28 and 29. He says this: marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. There's coming a day when every individual who has ever been put into a grave will come forth. Let me ask you this: who was put into those graves? Individuals. Who are going to come out of those graves? Folks, the very individuals that went into those graves. If you put Victor Eskew in a grave When our Lord comes again, guess what? Victorescu is coming out of that grave. The exact same person that went in will come out. We do not lose our identities at death. But here's another point that we need to grasp hold of. When an individual dies, he does not lose his memory. Folks, it's not like you die, go to the other world, and all of a sudden you're all confused about things and you don't remember anything whatsoever. Jesus tells the story in Luke the 16th chapter about a rich man and Lazarus, doesn't he? Lazarus dies, goes into Abraham's bosom. The Bible says in verse 23 that the rich man also died. Now listen to what it says. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He desires for Lazarus to come, dip his finger in water, and cool his tongue. But you remember what Abraham said? Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou thy good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he is tormented. But now thou art tormented and he is comforted. Hear what Abraham said? Son, what? Remember. Here's a man who died. Here's a man who is in the next world. And Abraham tells that man, I want you to remember. What do you want me to remember? I want you to remember the previous world and the things that went on in that world. How that you had everything that you needed and Lazarus did not. He was a man who was fully cognizant of his surroundings. And fully cognizant not only of his surroundings, but also of everything that he had experienced in this world. I know that also from two other verses. In verse 27, that rich man remembered his father's house, did he not? And he asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house. Think about that. He remembered his father. He remembered that his father had a house. He remembered that he grew up in that house. He remembered all of those things. In the very next verse, verse 28, he also remembers, I had five brethren in my house, five brothers. Folks, when you and I die, we do not lose our identities and we do not lose our memories. That, in and of itself to me, is enough proof that there is going to be recognition in the afterlife. I'm going to remember my mom, my dad. I'm going to remember my brother and my sister. I'm going to remember my children. I'm going to remember my grandchildren. I'm going to remember my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to remember people that I worked with, individuals that I grew up with. Folks, whatever I know now, I can remember in the hereafter. We will know and recognize one another over there. Now, there are numerous examples in the biblical text of recognition after death. Notice this one, the rich man. We just quoted the passage a while ago, didn't we? In verse 25, the Bible says that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and what? Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And the Bible says that he said unto Abraham, Father Abraham! Folks, he knew Abraham. He recognized Abraham. Not only did he recognize Abraham, he recognized Lazarus lying there in comfort on the other side of that great gulf. Recognition in the hereafter. We turn to another passage found in Matthew the 17th chapter. Jesus takes his disciples, at least three of them, Peter, James, and John, into a high mountain apart. Most individuals believe that that was Mount Hermon. And it was there that Jesus is going to be transfigured before these individuals. But a very interesting thing happens at that particular time, does it not? The Bible says that it came to pass that there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Folks, now these men had been dead thousands of years. And yet, they were still who? They were still Moses and they were still Elijah. Oh, Peter immediately jumps in, does he not? Then Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It may have been that Peter heard Jesus talking to these men and speaking to them by name. But somehow, Peter also recognized who these individuals are. They did not lose their identity, even though they had been dead for thousands of years, and now they are back and they are speaking with our Lord on this very planet. Heavenly recognition. Let's look at another example. What about Jesus when he speaks to the penitent thief on the cross of Calvary? Here that man was at one time casting insults and blasphemy in the mouth of Jesus, but yet he has a change of heart, even to the point that he rebuked that other thief. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou art come into thy kingdom." The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Folks, think about that. Jesus said, "Oh yes, I'm going to die and you're going to die today. But we are not going to cease to exist. I'm going to go into paradise. And when you die, guess what? You're going into paradise, and there we will meet one another once again." There would be recognition on the other side. One of the most interesting stories involves David, doesn't it? Oh, David sinned with Bathsheba, and they bore a child, and that child lived for several months after birth. And then all of a sudden, it was smitten with sickness because, you see, God had pronounced the sentence of death upon that little baby, hadn't he? David, when he knew the child was sick, fasted and prayed before the throne of God. Finally, the child dies. And his servants, they don't know really what to do. They'd seen David in this horribly upset state before God while the child was sick. And now, what are we going to do? Are we really going to tell him that the child has died? How will he act to that? And David immediately recognized their concern, and he knew that the child had died. Folks, rather than continuing to mope, rather than continuing to grieve, what did David do? The Bible says that he got up, he washed himself, and he began to eat. The servants were astounded, weren't they? "Why are you acting like this? We just knew for certain you would act even worse at the news of the death of your child." Do you remember what David said? "Can I bring him back to me?" Folks, that was an impossibility. Can't happen. The child is dead. Can I bring him back to me? And then he makes a very interesting statement, doesn't he? He says this, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." Now that statement would have absolutely no merit if there's no recognition on the other side. If David was going to die and go over into the other world and not recognize that child, then what comfort would that bring David? None whatsoever. Folks, David knew the child is gone. The child is in the other world. But guess what? I can die and I will die. And ultimately, I will go and I will see him. That very child that had departed from this life. My friends, there is recognition in the hereafter. There's three other verses that I want to just throw out to you. You can stick these in your pocket if you're ever talking to somebody about recognition in heaven. The first one's found in Matthew 8, verse 11. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down, listen to this, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying one of these days there's going to be many individuals who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Individuals from the east, individuals from the west. He was talking about Gentile nations in that particular text. And these individuals, they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob where? In the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine that one day? Gentiles would sit before the Father of the Jews in the kingdom of heaven. We turn to another passage, Ephesians 3, verse 15. Here Paul is writing about Jesus and he says this, in whom the whole family, watch this, of heaven and earth is named. Right now, God has a family, does He not? And guess what, folks? That family doesn't consist just of people on the earth, does it? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There are individuals who are members of the family of God in heaven at this very time. I want you to think about this. Right now, as members of the family of God, do we know one another? Are we able to recognize one another? Sure. We do it every Sunday, every Wednesday, don't we? Walk through those doors. Hello, how are you? How's your week? How you been? What's up? And we know one another. Now just think about this. All of a sudden, we die. We go into heaven. Now we're a member of the heavenly family, but now we're a family of strangers. We don't know each other. Now, wouldn't that be the craziest thing to think of? Folks, if we're a family, we know one another. We love one another. We care about one another. And when we get into heaven, guess what? We're still a part of the family. And we're still going to have recognition one of another. There's still going to be those tight bonds that intimately join us one with another. There'll be recognition there, folks. No doubt at all. The last passage is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. Listen to what Paul says. He says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord at His coming? Ye are our joy. Ye are our glory and joy. What's Paul talking about? Paul says, you Thessalonians who have converted to Jesus Christ through our preaching are going to be what brings joy and glory to us when Jesus comes again. But what if there's no recognition? What if we don't know one another? All of a sudden, Paul looks and he sees all these people standing before Jesus, some of them the Thessalonians, but he has no recognition of that, folks. If he has no recognition, guess what he can't have? He can't have any joy or any glory, can he? Paul says, when Jesus comes again, and I see you standing before Jesus Christ, in a justified state, guess what? I will have glory and I will have joy because you are standing there. Why? Because I had part in your conversion to Jesus Christ. Folks, there is absolutely no doubt from the pages of God's Word that when you and I die, we are going to recognize one another. But there's a problem that individuals think about. Sometimes we just think too much. You know it? But it's okay to think. Here's the objection that individuals raise. This is point number two. If we are able to recognize one another when we get to heaven, that means this. We're also going to recognize that there are some people who aren't there. Isn't that right? If I'm over in the other world and I'm anticipating individuals coming to me, and then all of a sudden it's the last day, and guess what? I look around heaven, I ask around heaven, and you are nowhere to be found, then how can I have joy knowing that you aren't there? It's really worse than that, isn't it? How can I have joy knowing that people I loved and cared about, who I anticipated coming to be with me on this side, on the other side of death, folks, how can I have joy knowing they're lost? Here's something interesting. The Bible does not directly address the matter. Not directly. Now, there's two things that I do know. One is this. We will recognize each other on the other side. We've already established that, have we not? There's numerous passages that teach that. Folks, that's a matter of faith. I'll know other people when I get to heaven. And I'll know whether you're there, and I'll know whether you're not there. Here's another thing that I know. That there will be joy and no sorrow in that land. Isn't that true? And there shall be no more death. Neither shall there be sorrow, nor crying, nor any more pain. For the former things are passed away. That's Bible. Revelation 21:4. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to know all the people that are there. I'm going to have recognition. I'm going to have memory. I'm going to know all this stuff. And yet I do know this. When I get there, there will not be one drop of sorrow in my heart. Not one drop. No pain, no sorrow, no tears. All of that is gone. Now, the only thing we can do now is surmise. The only thing we can do now is postulate. The only thing we can do now is say, well, this might be how that happens. Because the Bible doesn't address the matter specifically. There have been some explanations given. One of them is this. When you and I die, we will at that time have superior knowledge. In other words, we will gain knowledge at that time that we do not have at this present time. Now, one evidence of that is what happened to the rich man when he died. Had the rich man ever met Abraham? Didn't know him. Didn't grow up with him. Never wrote him a letter. Never talked to him. Folks, Abraham had been dead for years and years and years, had he not? And then all of a sudden he dies, and the Bible says that he sees who? He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now I expect him to know Lazarus, but how in the world did he know Abraham? Was there some form of knowledge that he gained at death? And folks, when you gain that kind of knowledge, individuals say, it's because of that knowledge that you can understand and not have the sorrow in your heart for those that are lost. How about this, folks? When you and I die, we have full trust that the judge of the earth has done the right thing. Isn't that what the Bible says? Shall not the righteous judge doeth right? When I get to heaven, and there's all the redeemed, and they've stood there before God, and they've been judged, then I'm going to know that our God did the right thing. If we're in heaven, we're there because we're supposed to be there. If an individual is lost, he is lost because he's supposed to be lost. Because God has judged that way, and He has judged righteously, and because I know that, I have no sorrow for those who are lost. I don't know. What about this one? Is there anybody that you know who has died in a lost condition in this world? Nah, nobody knows anybody like that, do you? But isn't it interesting that even though we know that now, does that destroy all the joy that you have here on earth? No. Doesn't destroy all your joy. You and I wake up and we have joyous days every day of our lives, don't we? Even though we know people have died and we know individuals have died in a lost condition and they will stand before God lost and lose their souls, we still have joy. Somehow, joy can override sadness, can it not? Folks, I don't know the explanation exactly. I just know by faith we'll recognize one another. And I know by faith that when I get there, I will have full, absolute, complete joy with zero sorrow. None. the blessings of recognition. Folks, I don't know about you, I'm glad that we're going to recognize one another on the other side, aren't you? There's at least three blessings that I want to talk to you about. Number one, the anticipation of that recognition in the hereafter. When I was at the Brooklyn Church of Christ, there was a lady, she was about 93, 94 years old, who passed away. Her name was Esther Forehand. Faithful Christian. She had a husband, however, who was lost. There had been some church problems early on in their marriage and discouraged him greatly. And he never put on the gospel of Christ. He was about 95 at the time. At the age of 97, I get a phone call from his daughter. And she says, "Daddy wants to obey the gospel." So I go over to the house and I talk to James Forehand. And one of the statements that he made is this: "I don't want to die and never see my Esther again." We studied, and at the age of 97, that man was baptized into Christ. For the next couple of years, while his health would allow it, he was faithful to the worship services, and he died at 104. 7 years, folks, after his conversion. But guess what? For 7 years, he lived in earnest expectation that when I close my eyes in death, guess what? When I open them on the other side, I will be able to see my Esther. Not that they'll be married, for they won't be. But I'll be able to recognize her. I'll be able to see her. And you see, that's one of the things that moves us. That's one of the things that propels us in this life, is it not? Exactly what David said about that child. "I shall go and be with him, but he shall not return to me." He lived in anticipation of being able to see that little one all over again. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 some interesting words about resurrection beginning in verse 13. "I would not that ye should be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," those are the ones that have died, "that ye sorrow not even as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," listen to what he says, "even so, when Jesus returns, shall God bring all of those that sleep in Christ with him." If we're alive and Jesus comes again, folks, that sky is going to break open. We're going to see the Christ, but guess who else we're going to see? We're going to see all of the saints coming back with our Lord. Those spirits will be reunited with those bodies in those graves. Those bodies will come up forth out of those graves, not like these bodies, but glorified bodies, immortal bodies, heavenly bodies. And we'll be able to see those individuals once again. Brother Elkins was close to many, many preachers, you know that? And now there's many, many preachers and elders and members of the church who are living in anticipation of seeing him on the other side. Secondly, the joy of heavenly recognition. Won't it be a wonderful thing when you die to see those individuals who are faithful and passed on to the other world? There's some individuals in here who had mom and dads who were part of this congregation in times gone past. And folks, I never met them. I hear a lot of stories about them, how good of people they were, how wonderful they were. Moms and dads. And guess what? Can you imagine when you die and you go to the other side and guess who you get to see? You get to see mom and dad again. "My dad's been gone almost 20 years. How wonderful it'll be to see him again. To grab my dad and hug him. Dad, how wonderful to see you." One man wrote in a Facebook post that we do not say goodbye in this world. We merely say farewell for a time. You see, we know one day that there'll be that heavenly recognition, don't we? The last blessing. Folks, the bliss of living with those individuals forever and ever and ever. We go to Memphis or somewhere near Memphis. Old Vic's going to stop in and see some grandkids. There ain't no doubt. It may be for an hour. It may be for 24 hours. Vic's stopping to see a grandkid. But you know what? I always have to leave. And I hate that, don't you? Just hate that. And in this life, we have individuals die and we go to the grave and we watch them lowered into the earth. And guess what we have to do? We have to leave, don't we? And that person's gone. My friends, listen to me. When you get on the other side and you grasp that individual in your arms again, you will never, ever have to leave them again. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? But these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life, listen to him, eternal. Matthew 25:46. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Romans 2:7. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 2:25. We get there and we embrace those individuals. And we never, ever have to leave them again. Wow. What joy, folks. What joy. Heaven is not going to be a place filled with a bunch of strangers. Okay? Can you imagine dying, waking up and going to heaven? Who are you? Oh, I'm Moses. Oh, Moses. Or they tell you your mama's name. Oh, you were my mom, I think. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Folks, it's not a place filled with strangers. It's filled with the saved. It's filled with real human beings who you and I will recognize and know in the hereafter. And they will be part of our joy when we get there, will they not? The joy of being united, not for just a little bit of time, but forever and ever and ever. And we sing songs about it, do we not? And one of those songs that we sing in our hymns, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And folks, part of that joy is because we know each other. There's another song we sing, and it's called In the Morning of Joy. Listen to what it says. Oh, the bliss of that morn, when our loved ones, we what? We meet. With the songs of the ransom, we each other shall greet. Singing praise to the Lamb through eternity's years, with a past all forgotten, with its sorrows and tears. When we all get where? When we all get to heaven, folks, it will be a morning of joy, will it not? To see people who've gone before, to embrace those individuals, and to never, ever, ever have to let those people go. Are you ready for that day? Are you going to be among that group who are saved? We want you to be. The steps are simple. They were laid out very easily for us on the day of Pentecost, weren't they? First time this gospel was preached, Peter told those individuals to hear his words, Acts 2:22. When they heard those words, they cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, They that gladly received His word were baptized, verse 41. My friends, that's all you have to do to become a Christian. And the Lord will take you and add you to the body of Christ. It's possible for an individual to apostatize. It's possible for an individual to sow sin that he loses his soul in this life. Can you imagine that? Having known the truth, having embraced the truth, having loved ones who've gone on, who live faithfully, who are justified, who are going to be in heaven, and what do? We live in such a way that we miss it. Don't do that. Folks, if you've sinned and you need to ask God for forgiveness, won't you do that tonight? If you're not faithful and steadfast, repent of that and ask God to forgive you. Set your mind upon heaven and let's go be there on that day of reunion. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.